Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 7 through 17, and then we're going to allow the Holy Ghost to have his way tonight. Amen? And so let me pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, we're asking right now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church, and we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, The Lawless One Will Be Revealed. The Lawless One Will Be Revealed. Let's read these verses. Verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, and only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Wow, what a sight to see. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them what? Strong delusion. People that are in deep sin right now, God is sending them a strong delusion because they're believing the lie. God's already somewhat almost done with them. And he sends the delusion. They think they're all right, but they're not. Because God sends the delusion. Look at this. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. So in other words, they can't even come to the truth. Because God's already put in their mind, because you're wallowing in this sin, you're going to remain in that sin. And you're not going to see the truth. That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is why. Because they were wallowing in their sin. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Hallelujah. Every one of us in here tonight are here because of the truth. Can I get an amen? Praise God. We love the truth. We embrace the truth. If we did not embrace the truth, this would not desire us. We would have no desire for this. We would be out there getting ready to head out to the Black Angus. Oh, you didn't go there, did you? To which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So there's something that God expects from each and every one of us as his children. Number one, to stand. Number one, to have a word of hope for those who are perishing and to do a good work for the Lord. You see, we're not saved by works. That's right. We're saved by grace. But because we've been saved by grace, then men and women will see the good works because of the Holy Ghost that's living inside of us. Can I get an amen? There's people right now, I've seen it on video, people down in Mexico, during Easter time, they crawl on their knees and their knees are full of blood just to get to the church. Thinking that this is my penance. Instead of repenting, this is my penance. Meaning I'm showing God that that I'm worthy because I'm crawling on my knees to get to you. What a far sound. Well, there are so many things in society today that will resemble that very act. So let's go to verse 7. Here we go. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. So in this present world, saints, the world of the Thessalonians and the world today have two simultaneously events that are that happen then and now. First, the lawlessness is already at work secretly, although it may not be clearly seen for what it is. Right now, the spirit of Antichrist is around the world, and it's operating in a lawless manner. Everything almost on TV now is against the law of God, the grace of God, and God's ordinance and precepts. When God calls certain things an abomination, they're telling you, I don't believe that. We're going to flaunt our sin before the world. You see, the work that the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, will do is already going on. It's here. It's been here. We're going to see scriptures where it's already at work. Secret means something hidden behind the scenes, but something God will reveal. God's going to reveal old Slowfoot. Oh, yeah, he will. You know what the Bible says? That when Satan is revealed and we get to see him, we're all going to say, he's the one that deceived the whole world? He's probably only maybe 3 foot tall. Who knows? And the Bible said we're going to go, what? He deceived the world? Lawlessness is hidden, subtle, underlying force from which all sin springs up. Now, Jesus said it best. Look what he said in Matthew here. He said, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. So he wanted their keen attention. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. You know what he was saying? He was saying that we are so sinful that we need a savior because our heart's corrupt. See, people didn't realize until Jesus came to the cross that mankind was just corrupt all by itself. Listen, if you didn't teach your children any kind of mannerism, if you didn't teach them how to obey and to be raised up, they will sin all by themselves. It's in them. Sin is in them. It reigns, the Bible says, in our mortal body. Then Jeremiah said it best. He said it like this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So here is what's against mankind right now. Our own sinfulness and the Antichrist that's in the world. So when you have those two things, you're thinking, wow, there is no hope, but there is hope, and that's in Christ. This is why Jesus had to come. He knew we couldn't save ourselves. Can I get amen? He knew that he had to come and die for just that thing, that ugly thing that's in us. Thank you, God. And so, secondly, even though this power is working, so is the one who is holding them back. You know, I hope you know that God has a leash on the devil right now. He got a big leash on him. He could only do so much. Because if he let him have full reign, we would all be wiped out already. Because he hates God's creation. He hates you and I. He wanted to be the one that would be worshiped in heaven. And so God had to kick him out. It's tough to kick out someone from your house. But God had to. Why? Because pride lifted him up. He wanted all the glory. He wanted all the praise. And so because of his rebellious heart, God kicked him out of heaven, and he took a whole bunch of angels with him that turned into demons. And so civilization still has a modicum of decency. And right now we're governed under law enforcement, education, science, and reason. If there's any country that you want to live in today, it would be this country. Can I get an amen? Because people still honor society here in a way where other countries is lawlessness. It's corrupt from the top to the bottom. Thank God for the United States. Can I get an amen? Because God instituted, he created this nation that we would be a light, a city on the hill, that we would preach the gospel and that the whole world will hear the gospel from us. We were a golden cup in the hand of God. America sent the missionaries and he sent the evangelists throughout the world and evangelized the world. Praise God for all that. It was all the providence of God. It was all in his mind that he would raise up this nation. And praise God, we still have our liberties. Can I get amen? We can still go to a house of God and still worship the King. And so although we are horrified by the criminal acts and the drive-bys and the murders and 61 now million aborted, all these things that are horrific, the world has yet to see the real horror of complete lawlessness. This is when full restraint is removed. It's like this. You know, having a pit bull and you're training him how to fight and you got him by the chain and he'll and then you let him go. Whoo. Now he will kill that dog whether he dies or not. His whole thing is to kill that dog. Well, God is holding back right now. The devil and his minions. Because if he let them go, we'd all be destroyed. So this will happen when the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. Jesus said it best. He said this, look, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Listen, because the Antichrist spirit is in our society now around the world, there's people that have no desire for God. He said when this will take place, many of them will just have no desire for God. Even those who started up running in the church or grew up in the church. He says the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be what?
Saved.
See, you know what? When you see each other in church and praising him, serving him, pressing out, that's a sign to you that God is with you and he's not done with you. Can I get amen? It's when you grow cold and you have no more desire. Oh, my gosh. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. See, we think nations is countries. If you take the word nation in the Greek, it actually means ethnicity, meaning black, brown, Chicano, white, Asian. Listen, if you look around, we're all multicultural in here. We're the nation. Hallelujah. God has no favorites. And he's not a respecter of person. Praise God. So who or what holds back the man of lawlessness? It seems that the Thessalonians knew that answer from Paul's previous teaching. So Paul referred it to be here, but did not repeat it. So commentators throughout time, throughout, especially in the modern church era, have considered three possibilities for the identity of this restrainer. That's restrainer. Number one, government and law, which help to curb evil. Praise God. You know, I know some people, well, I don't like the cops. Well, you know what? If someone broke in your pad tonight, you'll be calling them. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Number two, the ministry and activity of the church and the effects of the good news and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All that's working right now to restrain an onslaught of the evil one. And so, saints, the Bible is not clear on the identity, the true identity, but He will only restrain for a moment, and then he's going to turn it loose. Man, we don't want to be here when he turns it loose. Can I get an amen? Then the man of lawlessness will be revealed and will do his evil work. So, why will God allow this evil man to act with unrestrained wickedness? You ever ask yourself that? Why? It's to show people and nations their own sinfulness and to show them by bitter experience the true alternative to the Lordship of Christ. In other words, God wants to be glorified and high and lifted up. So God gives us an alternative: righteousness, love, purity, goodness and grace and mercy, or lawlessness and murder and deceit and lying and cheating. There's no gray area. You're either for the things of God or you're not. So let's look at verse 8 now in 2 Thessalonians. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy the brightness of his coming. Man, when Jesus cracks the sky, he's going to just speak a word. And the sword and the word of God is going to consume all the lawlessness on this earth. How many can't wait to live in the new Jerusalem? It's going to come down from heaven. And only the redeemed is going to live there. Only those who are filled with the Holy Ghost that have been born again. Not the wannabes, not the name bad Christians. You know, there's a lot of name tag Christians. They grew up in a church home, or they were homeschooled. They were part of the choir. But they were around Christianity. And some of them had really good moral values. But except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So after the one who restrains the rampant evil is removed, then the man of lawlessness will be revealed. For a period of time, he will have great power and act with notorious evil. Just as this man of lawlessness will be revealed in God's timing, however, so will he also be destroyed when Jesus comes. There will be an end to this man's evilness. Indeed, when the Lord Jesus returns, he will consume the Antichrist with the breath of his mouth. So, this lawless person that God is talking about, he's going to be filled with Satan. Some believe he's already here, but he hasn't did this yet. Peekaboo. Here I am. And so, look what Isaiah said. Isaiah said it. He will rule against the wicked and destroy them with the breath of his mouth. Jesus is going to come and just speak it. And that man's going to be cast into the lake of fire. What? No matter how powerful this evil man may become, he is no more than a flame to be blown out by the breath of the Lord. No matter how much authority he has on this earth, he's going to be but a whimper of a flame. Just stamped out. Look what it says in Revelation here. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. These two were cast alive into the what? Lake of fire, burning with brimstone. This lawless one and the false prophet. Many believe, I can't say with a definitive shadow of a doubt, but many believe the false prophet is the Pope. And ever since that movie Spotlight has come out, look at all these priests that are being revealed of their horrific pedophile lives. God is pulling the covers and he's letting the world see them for who they are. God will pull the cover. See, sin can only be dormant for a while, and then God will just uncover it. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds will fit. Look at this. He's going to send all these people that were with the false prophet and the lawless one, all the ones that were with them, locked arms, you know, the ones that hate the things of God, that aborted babies and that ran with the homosexuals, all these people, God's going to feed them to the birds. That's right there. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. Wow. My goodness. That's a serious matter. That's a serious matter with God, huh? Saints, a further picture is seen in the deception that the man of lawlessness will be destroyed by the splendor of Christ's coming. A mere breath renders the Antichrist powerless so that the very appearance of Christ on the scene will ruin him. Let's go to verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. So this man will be all possessed by the devil. We talked about this one particular issue with the men on Monday. It was brought up. We commented on it, and then we moved on to our study. But one of the thing that was mentioned, especially with the male homosexuals, there is a distorted look on their face. And there's no other face like theirs. And so I went to prayer and I said, God, what is that? And God answered me, those are demons manifesting through the flesh. That's why they look funny. They act funny. That's not their real person. That's not how God made them. They're filled with demons. And the women are that way too. Look at them. You'll know who the butch one is. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. There's those people that are caught up in all kinds of evil wickedness. God keeps reminding them, turn from your wicked ways, turn from the evil. And then God says, time's up, you're done. You had your chance that they might be saved. Notice might, didn't say will be. Might be saved if they truly repented. And so, saints, this verse answers the question that might have been plaguing the Thessalonians and even modern readers. It's this: how will this one man become so powerful? And then, how will he attain such notoriety and loyalty from the masses? See, the whole world, basically, is going to follow this man of sin. You see, you and I, we'll be taken out of the way because we can discern what's good and evil. So we won't be duped. We'll know. God has to move us out of the way. But the rest of the masses who are not believers, who are not born again, who love the things of darkness, they're going to follow this man all the way into the pit. Saints, the answer is that this man will be Satan's tool. He will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. Jesus had warned that false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great miracle signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. Where does it say that? It says it right up here. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Jesus said it. I'm just the mailman delivering the mail tonight. Don't throw tomatoes at me. See, I have told you beforehand. So Jesus said, we have no excuse. I already told you. Don't you stand before me and say, I didn't know, God. No, tonight, you heard it. Mark it down. It's all right. You can forget about it. Jesus doesn't forget. You can want to not remember it. Try to will it away. Not with God. This is why it's important, saints of God, to be right with God. And let me just say this. In the times that we live in right now, the enemy wants to come and trip you up. He will bring you deception. He'll put people in your life that you thought, I was done with that. And now you're wallowing back in it. Let me just say this, and I'll move on. But those who come to the saving knowledge of the truth of God, and they know the truth, and they choose to go back and wallow in the sin, and the Word of God says that sometimes God will have to destroy the flesh to save the soul, because it brings a reproach to Christianity, to the kingdom of God. So here you are, you're witnessing, yeah, praise God, man. You know, I'm sharing, I'm testifying. And then all of a sudden, you're backsliding. You go right back into that sin. And you know what that does? It does great havoc to the ones you preach to. Because they see, wait a minute. I was believing you. And now I don't believe. Wow. That's a dangerous place to be with God. It's so dangerous. This is why every morning, oh God, search my heart. Oh God, cover me. Oh God, when I leave this house, oh God, be with me. Oh God, don't let me see, let me hear things, Lord, that is wicked. Watch over me, God. Saints, even in the numerous antichrists will have extraordinary powers. This one, who will be filled with Satan's power, will do signs that are even more extraordinary. Look what John wrote on the island of Patmos when he wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Look what he wrote. He wrote this, little children, it is the last hour as you have heard that the antichrist is coming. Even now many antichrists have come by which we know that it is the last hour. We're in that last hour. We are the generation that will see Jesus' return. This is why, saints, it's time not to play around. This is his time. If you're caught up in something, let it go now. Say, you know what, God, I repent. Man, I want to honor you, God. And God will cleanse you and wash you at that moment. But you got to come to him with a repentant heart. Saints, while Jesus and his followers did miracles of compassion for the purpose of bringing glory to God, the Antichrist will do miracles characterized by evil and deceit for the purpose of bringing glory to himself. Look how Revelation explains this. He performs great signs so that even makes fire that comes down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he has granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He's going to have so many people duped to believe the lie. Look what else John wrote in Revelation. He wrote this, for they are spirits of demons. That's what's operating, demonic activity. They are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to do battle of that great day of God Almighty. It's building up. Time is soon to end how we see it and know it. But for us, as the believer, born again, filled with God's Spirit, we're going to be taken out of the way. Praise God. We're going to be, don't miss that documentary on Sunday night, because is going to cover the marriage supper of the Lamb. Why we will be there. Why he has to come and consummate the marriage. Thank you, God. God's bringing all these things to our attention right now because he's coming soon. Now, look what it said. Look what else John wrote. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Man, just imagine there's hot lava and you're being dumped right in it. And you can't get away because an angel probably got you by the nape of your neck. Bam. And drops you in. Whew, that's a serious matter, huh? How many believe God wrote this and we are to believe these things that are going to take place? How many believe that? Amen. I'm not up here just blowing my breath up here. These things are going to take place. They're going to happen. And we have to take heed. Every one of us have to take heed. We have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Can I get amen? With fear and trembling. Yeah, we're saved, but man, don't take advantage of it. Don't take it for granted that, yeah, I'm saved, but you know, I'm still going to go do these things and do that thing and do all. No, man, this is where you got to say, God, empower my heart to live right before you, God. And when that evil thought, when that tempting thought comes, rebuke it right there. Once you say, I plead the blood of Jesus over that thought will just vanish. But if you entertain it, yeah. Now you're falling for the trap because the devil will speak to your mind. That's where the battle is. It's in the mind. But I truly believe that the word of God and the power of God and the grace of God, I don't care where you at right now in Christ, he will set you free. If you find yourself entangled in bondage again, he will set you free. But you got to come clean with him. Saints, it will be this power that will fool those who are on their way to destruction. Those who refuse to believe the truth that would save them. But true Christians will stand firm because they understand what is happening and will not be turned away. Can I get an amen? Amen. The statement that they refused the truth shows that at that point in time, God's offer of salvation will still be available to those. Even those, after we get out of the way, God said, I'm still going to give you an opportunity to repent. See, God doesn't take glory in people dying. I hope you know that. He came here to save us. But he also gave us a free will. Thank God he didn't make us like robots. And so the evil let loose upon the world will be used by God as a last chance for many. The choice will be crystal clear, saints, because the Antichrist will have taken over every other religion. It'll be a universal faith, which they want to implement already. This is why the Pope wants to be with the Muslims and all the other religions. They want to come together as one religion. That's a disgraceful act before God. The unbelievers in the world will be so enamored of this powerful person that they will choose to follow him away from God and into eternal death. So let's go back to verse 11 in chapter 2. And for this reason, God will send them what? Strong delusion. That they should believe a lie. That they all may be condemned who did not believe in the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Man. Now, for time's sake, I'm going to speed it up here. But let me just say this. God's in control of every person on this earth. Can I get an amen? Amen. And when he says he sends strong delusion, he sent it no differently how he hardened Pharaoh's heart. Remember Pharaoh? The Bible says that God sent a delusion and it hardened his heart. This is the sovereignty of God. This is why we can't say, man, that ain't fair. God is sovereign. If he chooses to save you and chooses not to save you, who are you to say that's not fair? Let's go a little deeper with this. Joshua 11:20. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts. So you keep wallowing in that. Go ahead. He's going to harden your heart. You're going to believe that and walk away from God. Look at this. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might utterly destroy them. So you know what he did? He hardened their heart to come against Israel because God wanted to destroy those idol worshipers. That's what it says up there. That he might utterly destroy them and that they might receive no mercy. What? This is God? Yes, this is the God we serve. Take it to him if you can't receive this tonight. But that he might destroy them as the Lord had commanded Moses. Man. See, we try to reason with God. Yeah, but you know my heart. Yeah, he does know your heart. It's wicked. And it's deceitful. Oh God, they're my friends, they're my family, they're this, they're my coworker. You know their hearts. Yeah, I do know their hearts. They're wicked. Now, did you know that God chooses to love and hates the other? Oh, wait a minute. God's a loving God. But now you're just saying, now you're just making this up, Pastor. Really? Let's look at this. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. This is God speaking. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whoever I have compassion. We're here because he has compassion on us. Thank you, God. But there are some right now that we even know. We don't know if they're coming into the true repentance and saving knowledge. But some of them are going to perish. Look at this. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows what? Mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. What? To the people we know that are wallowing in their sin, he's hardening their hearts because they're believing the lie. God is doing it. Well, I don't know if I want to believe this God now. Well, there's no other God that'll save you. Can I get an amen? I know this is cutting to the heart, but you know what? God is not a respecter of persons. Some of us need to hear this. You will say to me, why does he still find fault? For look at this. For who has resisted his will? But indeed, oh man, who are you? Look at Paul wrote. Who are you to reply against God? Will the thing form say to him, who formed it? Why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make vessels for honor? And then he makes others of dishonor. Wow. This is why every morning I wake up, mercy. Thank you for your mercy, God. Thank you, God, because at one time I was a vessel of dishonor. But because of his grace and his mercy, he saved me from destruction. This is why it needs to be embedded in our heart that God is in total control of everything that we do here on this earth. He even controls our breath. Look at this. What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Say that with me. We are vessels of mercy. Yes. He has given us and shown us mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory. Even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also us Gentiles. I ain't know there was in here a Jew. We're Gentiles. He saved them and us. And he didn't care. He didn't come to you and say, is it okay if I save them? But I'm choosing not to save them. Did he come and collaborate with you and sat down with you? No, because he is sovereign and he is God all by himself. Whoever he chooses. Just be thankful he chose you. Can I get amen? Be thankful he chose you. As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people. One time, man, we were out there, man. We was out there shaking it with the best of them. Drugging and snorting and doing all that and litting it up. And man, and we were in and out of bedrooms. Huh? We were not a people at one time, but now we've become the people of God. Can I get an amen? Only one's happy about that. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There they shall be called the sons of the living God. Hallelujah. That's us. Sons of the living God, daughters of the living God. But see, right now as we speak, in the culture that we live in, they will continue to be deceived further and further beyond simply believing the delusion, actively forwarding its cause. There's people right now, listen, just drive. As soon as you go into Hillcrest, there's a rainbow flag that'll cover from this block almost to the other end of the block. And it's just flying in the face of God. Perverting that God said that when you see the rainbow in the sky, that was a covenant he made with God that he will not destroy the earth with water again. And now they're using that same thing to do this to God. He sent them a delusion and he's hardening their hearts. Believe it or not, I just read you the scripture, so take it up with God. Can I get an amen? Don't take it up with me. I just have the good news that we are saved by grace through faith, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it was God's mercy that saved you and I. Mercy. So, God sends this delusion, shows his sovereignty in the entire event. At no point will God be out of control. Even as Satan unleashes his power through the Antichrist, God's sovereignty is displayed in this way. For God has put into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. So in other words, those who just want to wallow in that, he puts it in them to believe that lie. Saints, the result of the choice for believing the lie is that they will be condemned. God will condemn them. The path toward condemnation is downhill and slippery. It begins with fascination with evil and leads to an acceptance of the lie and simultaneous rejection of the truth, powerful delusions that lead one deeper into evil so that it is accepted and even enjoyed. At that point, people's hearts are hardened against God and His word, for they do not feel any need for God no more. Wow. Look at verse 13 in 2 Thessalonians. We're coming in for a close. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation. Aren't you so blessed He chose you? Listen, I know some of us have kids and parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles that are not saved. We know that. I know that for myself. But He chose us. Aren't you so blessed He chose you? He could have left us out there. But He chose us. And now the Spirit of God is sanctifying us. All I got word is to back up what I'm saying here. I won't say anything that's a lie, that's my opinion, because my opinion don't count. It don't matter. I hope you know that. God said it right up here. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. You see, a born-again child of God, you'll see the fruit of God. You can't judge them because God said, judge not lest you be judged. So we don't judge, but we will see evidence of fruit. They have a prayer life. They witness. They serve. They worship. They praise. They win. The opposite is totally contrary to that. I have no desire. I don't care about Bible study. I don't care about coming to church. I'm going to find better things to do. You go. That's good for you. You needed that. Look at this. And that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you. These things I command you that you love what? One another. Saints, Paul consistently taught that salvation begins and ends with God. The Thessalonian believers had been chosen by God from the beginning. Present and future, persecution and suffering should not lead to panic. Instead, believers should stand firm. And he says it best right here in the next verse. To which he called you by our gospel for obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. God later on to stand. And this is how Peter instructed us. Peter, all the apostles understood what Jesus taught them. And the Holy Spirit now that lived in their lives. He said it best like this. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children. Yes. Not disobedient. Obedient children. Look at this. Not conforming yourselves to the former lust. You know what it means by that? Why are you going back and wallowing back in that sin again? I just delivered you from it. Not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. We're not ignorant no more. We know the truth. We will give a greater accountability now. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for what? I am holy. Verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Listen, there is a whole lot of grace and mercy in God, but we're not to take advantage of it. Those little areas that we struggle in, those are areas where we come to God, God, cleanse me. Oh, God, forgive me. And He's there to do that. That's His nature to forgive. It's when you know the truth and you still wallow in it. There's a difference. There's a major difference. That's what He says. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which He has called and made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Why do you want to go put your handcuffs on again?
I can't. Wait a minute. I can't. What? It got quiet in here.
The Thessalonians had received much teaching in person, and they had Paul's letters. They would need them to hold onto the truth that they had been taught. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us, given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now, that's what God is calling us, saints. How many believe that God cares for you? He does. He loves us so much. He went to great lengths to save us. So our response, because we cannot do any kind of works to be saved, but because we are saved, then people will see the good works. Because you have received his goodness. Now you're demonstrating that same goodness. And you know what the thing that God brought to my mind is one of the reasons why for the past 31 years that I am so thankful and why I love him so much. Because he shows me every now and then that I was about ready to be tossed into the lake of fire. My drug life, my whoremonging life, deceitfulness, cheating, lying. He reminds me, this is what I saved you from. All you got to do now is just praise me. He's not asking for much. So just praise him and glorify him and thank him, because there's nothing we can do to earn this great salvation. I hope you know that. Therefore, humble yourselves in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because the adversary, the devil, he's lurking to try to trap you. Hey, wait a minute. You remember, you used to love that. Well, here it is again. Come on, it's not going to hurt you. Look at that. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. After he has duped you and he sucked you in, now he's going to unleash fury on you. You know why? Because you left this camp the first time. He's the great sucker punch. He'll walk up to you and just tag you. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to this eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you had suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and forever and forever. Amen and amen. And we conclude for this evening. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, man, God gave us an earful tonight. But you know what he wants us to do with it? Just have it marinate. Just chew on it. Let it go down. Look, the word comes down sometimes like bitter, but then when it gets to the tummy, it's like honey. Remember that. Comes a little bitter, but then it settles and it becomes honey because it was good for us. Can I get an amen? Yeah, amen. And let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for this wonderful chapter, Lord. And this, your word is, thy word is truth. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for always bringing truth to us and reminding us how good you are, how merciful you are, how loving you are. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe someone shared this message, or maybe someone just, hey, listen to this, or maybe you were on Google and you typed in amazing, and then our website popped up, and then this message popped up, and you're curious, and now you're listening, and now God is speaking to you. This is not a coincidence, but it's the providence of God that you would listen to this, and God wants to save you. He wants to turn your heart toward Him. If that's you, our church family wants to pray with you. It's a simple prayer. You just believe in God by faith. Turn, repent of your sins, and turn to Christ and let Him wash you in His blood. And He'll give you a brand new life. If that's you right now, pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You for my life. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me, and the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor You and to follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, saints, give them a shout of praise in the house. Hallelujah. Man, I am so blessed to be a child of God tonight. Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We gave You the